broadcasting from the Princeton Orthopedic Associates Studios. This is Fox Sports 920, The Jersey, WNJE Trenton, Philadelphia.
The following program is paid for by IMG College, LLC. Any advice or information given is strictly for entertainment purposes only. Also, the views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or ownership.
You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time for the Mitch Henderson Show. Let's go live to the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. Here's your host, Derek Jones.
Good evening and welcome to the Alchemist and Barrister here in Princeton, New Jersey. Derek Jones and Mitch Henderson with you on The Mitch Henderson Show as we bring you a look at Princeton Tigers basketball right here on Fox Sports Radio 920, The Jersey. And we've got a lot to get to, including the first back-to-back sessions of the season. We have a couple of special guests on the way as well, but we started off with the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Mitch Henderson. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, Derek. How are you?
Good, and always good to get back into the groove of things on the floor with the Tigers.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, know? Absolutely.
About time. Let's get back in Ivy League play.
After exams, finishing up, you get the 91-62 win over Wesley on Sunday, a game where the Tigers pretty much seized control early on, and Miles Stevens helped set the tone.
Yeah, I thought the group together was, you know, you never know exactly what you're getting when you come out of exams, but, you know, I thought Miles really set the tone for us, as you mentioned, and I actually, you know, two of our guests here tonight, Ryan and Sebastian, they both came into the game and made a pretty serious impact. You know, I can't underestimate the importance of that game for our program, man. I can just say, like, it's such a long, it feels so long for us as coaches. The guys are just in real time, right? They're exams. So they're busy. But for us, we're watching all these games going on. Every team in the league's basically playing two games while we're on break. I'm thrilled that we get a chance to play against a different color jersey.
Absolutely, and certainly that has to be a great feeling for the players as well, because a chance to kind of get back to the grind of things after dealing with classwork and certainly a lot of the academic side of things, and you could see kind of the happiness and joy, and a lot of players having a good time out there on Sunday.
Yeah, like, you know, basketball's a fun game, and I always say to the guys, like, right before we get on the court, usually I'm like, your body's meant to move, you know, like, you got to move your body, and your fans want to see it, your parents want to see it, I want to see you move, and then when you're moving together, this is why I love basketball, I think it's one of the best games, is five guys working together and moving together hard for each other, you can accomplish anything. So, you know, there was a sense when we left, when we had the break, that we were in a really good place. And that's what we're aiming, not just to get back, but to build on it.
One thing that definitely carried over from the last Penn game, rebounding. 52-27 edge on Sunday.
Yeah, that's key for us. I think we can be an excellent rebounding team. You know, starts with Richmond, and then it goes to Miles, Jerome. You know, Sebastian, we made that a real point for him here recently, and he's answering. You know, Ethan, he hasn't been, you know, he's been out for a long time. Now he gets five rebounds. And Jerome plays what he played 14 minutes, gets 12 rebounds. You know, I was saying at the house, I'm like, Jerome's drinking the Kool-Aid. And my son was like, what is Kool-Aid? You know, like, what does that mean? What do you mean? It's I don't know. I really feel like, the guys are paying attention. I think these things matter. I think especially when you're on the road in the league.
One guy I wanted to ask you about on the other side of it for Wesley, Brian Cameron. He was coming in averaging 24 points per game. That's a guy right there who is an exceptional scorer.
It's terrific.
Can a guy like that help get the team prepared to what they're going to see, especially, and we'll talk about it in a little while, with this weekend and some of the big-time scorers that you'll see in Columbia Cornell?
Absolutely. We talked about Cameron. Our guys thought that, you know, he was just some Division III player. I know they would deny it, but they're wrong, and they took him lightly. And he's a really good player. He can play anywhere. He had hesitation moves, and he was just fearless. I was really impressed with him. I told him after the game, I was like, I really enjoyed watching you play. We have, you know, Matt Morgan on Saturday night, and you've got a lot of talented scorers on Friday night. And the key to winning in this league is to take away the best player, and we're going to have huge challenges ahead for us. But thank goodness for Miles, right? Like, that's got to be a key matchup to look for over the course of the weekend.
Miles Stevens leading almost all scorers in the game with 14 points. One other gentleman who is a little bit higher up the scale in terms of points that we'll get to in 1 second. But for Stevens, 14 points, 6 of 9 shooting, along with a couple of rebounds as well. And I believe he scored the first 9 points of the game as well. And sometimes you watch those games over the years out of the finals exam period, where it takes a little while for the team to get into the flow, but you were able to get into the mix early.
Yeah. We 2 years ago, we didn't have a Division III game. And I think everybody's always asked, like, what's the benefit of the game? And I kind of use Coach Carroll's words here. Like, he said, and it says, like, you have to play a game. You have to play somebody. And, you know, sometimes you listen to what Coach has to say, and you think about it. But in this case, I was like, yes, Coach, yes. And the point and the reason is that you know, you get an opportunity to just go out and sometimes you just can play. You know, you don't have to worry about, like, well, man, this is a meaningful league game. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And then all of a sudden, a part of your game that you've really been trying to work on shows up, which, you know, I'm sure we're going to get to Ryan here in a second, but he's worked really hard. He's been working really hard. It's really showing up in practice on a couple key aspects of his game, and they're showing up in practice, and now you're seeing in the game. And that's the key, and that's what I think Princeton basketball has always been about is, you know, do the little things as hard as you can possibly do them, and then over the course of time, and even I didn't know this when I was a freshman here, but that's Princeton basketball in a nutshell to me, is over the course of time, you get so much better at it, become more of an expert.
And you mentioned Ryan Schwieger, 15 points, 6 of 6 shooting from the field, and 3 rebounds as well. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to see a guy like that produce off the bench, and the bench scoring in the game was tremendous, 49-7 edge for the Tigers, and he was a huge part of that.
Yeah, I think it starts with Ryan's Christmas card. They have, I told Ryan, it's like top five all time. And he gave credit to his father, but I know Ryan has got, you know, I always say Ryan, like, still waters run deep with him, you know. There's a lot going on there, good sense of humor. But I was really pleased, and, you know, Ryan doesn't love attention, but, you know, I thought he played with a lot of confidence in the game, and we've been encouraging him to be as aggressive as possible. I thought he was just terrific, and I think Ryan is a really difficult matchup. You know, sometimes I stand next to him, and I think he's 6'8", and he has the skill set and the passing ability, one of the best passers on our team, so I was really happy for him.
A key contributor, without a doubt, and certainly a lot of key contributions. Max Johns also had 11. When you take a look at the bench play, how important is that going into Ivy League play for back-to-backs?
Well, it's. I was mentioning to the team today, you know, we 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we were on the road, and Miles came up with a couple really key stops in the game against Columbia. Mm-hmm. I think we were down, you know, 8 or 9 with just a couple minutes left. So I think it's massively important, you know. And even Richmond in that Columbia game, I was going back and watching a few clips, was you know, there were some signs of things to come.
We will have more talk of Princeton Tigers basketball in just a few moments. When we come back, it'll be time to take a look at Columbia and Cornell this weekend, the first back-to-back sessions for Princeton Tigers basketball. This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. Stay tuned. More headed your way right after this.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. It is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. As we take a look at Tigers basketball, it's time to dive in to Ivy League play for the Princeton Tigers in back-to-back games. First up, as the Tigers on Friday night make the trip to New York City to take on the Columbia Lions. And, Coach, obviously the games last year, we'll get to that trip in a second, but Columbia, a little bit of a different
why
team.
Why do we have to do that?
Well, I mean, it just for comparative sakes. Yeah. But from the game this year, one of the big differences from this year and last year is the fact that Mike Smith got injured this season, and he's not really a part of the proceedings. How different are they without him?
Well, you watch games early on in the season, and we're familiar with Mike, and he's a terrific player. But I think they've stepped up. You know, they've had enough time here without Mike to make some adjustments. They looked really good this last weekend against Cornell. I thought both games were, you know, I've told everybody, with the exception of the Harvard-Dartmouth game at Harvard, or excuse me, at Dartmouth, every game's been tight. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like, you know, Stefanini, like, you know, has taken over more of a scoring and ball dominant role for them. And he made like four or five really tough shots against Cornell. So they present a lot of challenges for you, to the point where we haven't even really mentioned it.
The two games between Columbia and Cornell decided by a grand total of 4 points. Mm-hmm. And to your point, it shows you just how competitive the league is this year.
Yeah, both games could have gone either way. In fact, you know, Cornell was up one at Cornell, and Columbia misses a free throw and then misses a putback, similar to the putback we saw against Arizona State. And then in the most recent game this weekend, it was a tight affair. It was back and forth. So the league's, you know, I've told anybody that's willing to, anybody that knows the league, anybody that's willing to listen, it's a reflection. We've known this in the league, but the recruiting started to grow about 5 years ago, all the way across the board with everybody. But, you know, and then that took another jump in the last 2 years. And the current junior class in the league, their current sophomore class in the league, I think, is strong all the way through. And
Coach, we were just talking about Cornell's ability to score thanks to Matt Morgan, and clearly one of the great scorers in the league. Defensively, how big of a challenge is that for your team?
Well, it's significant. He's like a two. Sometimes he's a two, and then sometimes he's a ten. And his two is fast, and his ten is like super lightning fast. So we have some challenges, and Brian's doing such a good job up there. I hate playing those two games every year, but it'll be good to see him. But I'll be happy when it's over.
Has the oddness of that worn off for you in terms of seeing him? It's been a couple of years now, but is it still kind of it's strange to see?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like from the very beginning, you know, I'm so happy that he gets the chance to do and run his own program. I know he's doing such a good job. He's going to be a terrific head coach, and he is. And the best part about it is, you know, I get to root for him, you know, all the time. But I think Brian would say the same thing. I hope, you know, it's about coaching your team. He's got to coach his team. And I try not to think too much about the opposing coach, in particular with this game.
How different are they without Stone Gettings? He transferred to Arizona, so obviously not a part of this team this year, but Jimmy Boeheim has been one of the players who has stepped up kind of in his absence.
Yeah, with Stone, they had the ability, and what he provided was he could score, you know, equally well going over both shoulders. I thought he was just a really good low post scorer, and that's not the point of emphasis much anymore. So, you know, I always try, again, to not judge a story until you kind of know what it looks like with yourself. You know, you might get into a hole saying, like, okay, well, they don't have this, so that's a problem for them. And meanwhile, somebody else steps up, which is the same thing that's going on with us. You know, we've got opportunities here. There's opportunities for guys to make very serious contributions to what we're going to be. And I'm excited for that opportunity, and I know the guys are too.
Give me a couple of keys here for the Tigers as they get set to finish up things on the road, at least this weekend on the New York side.
Yeah, well, we're going on the road, so I think we've got to have the mentality of going 2-0. That's the first thing. You know, you've got to understand that what's at stake, and there's a preparedness with going on the road that you've got to first think, like, we're preparing you to win, so that's first. Second, I think you got to rebound. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a big key for us. We've established that can be a part of our DNA. And then I think we have to value the ball. Both games, there's not a oppressive amount of heat or, you know, ball pressure. But, you know, we have some inexperience playing. And, you know, I tell the guys all the time, how do I say don't throw the ball away, not negatively? My mom would kill me for that, like too many negatives in a row. But value the ball, right? The ball is more important. I tell the guys all the time, we have to get more and better shots than the opposing team. That's what we've got to be able to do. And you do that by, there's a lot of different types of toughness. So this is my final thing is, you know, toughness sometimes shows up in the form of not throwing the ball to the other team.
And it certainly the Tigers will obviously be looking to take great care of the basketball and improve upon that 2-0 record in the Ivy League when they take on Columbia and Cornell this weekend. Before we let you get out of here, going to pick your brain here on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
well, I've got to go with my son Theo. You know, I've got to go with. He's a big Ram. He was Rams. You know,
really.
And he's whoever's still playing. You know, so it was the Colts. I'm from Indiana, yeah. So he was Colts. And then it was the Saints.
Yeah.
And now it's the Rams. So I've been talking to him about fair weather fans, and he just kind of like looks at me funny. But I'll go with the Rams.
There you go. It should be a great game on Sunday, Coach. Best of luck to you and the Tigers on Friday and great. Saturday.
Thank you very much, Derek.
This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. When we come back, we will hear from Ryan Schwieger and Sebastian Much. Stay tuned. More headed your way from the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton right after this.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister right here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. Derek Jones and the Mitch Henderson Show taking place from the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. A reminder, the Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. As we give way now to two key cogs of Princeton's basketball team, Ryan Schwieger and also Sebastian Much. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And let's go back first to this past Sunday. Ryan, great game for you. A career-high 15 points, 6 of 6 from the field. Take me through that contest and how you were able to get into the flow early.
Just trying to be aggressive. You know, that's what coach tells me. That's what all my teammates tell me, stay aggressive. So it was a... You know, I thought I started playing aggressive, and then throughout the game, I think it carried over.
Is that one of those games where as soon as you get the first shot to fall, you kind of feel things from there, and you kind of the confidence builds?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think starting off with I think I got an easy bucket at the rim, and I mean, that just carries through. So,
Sebastian, on your end, certainly it's been fun to watch you guys throughout the season, especially your performance against Arizona State. What's this season been like for you in your sophomore year?
It started out kind of like a little choppy in the beginning due to some injuries that were still lingering from last year. But as time progressed, I feel like I've gotten more and more comfortable, and my teammates have kind of pulled me along more and more, and I've just kind of been able to build up the confidence to, you know, keep shooting in games and things like that.
You certainly seem to like playing, A, out on the West Coast, and B, when Bill Walton shows up. two of the best games of your career have been in front of him. What's it been like to go out there to that part of the country and kind of see some of your friends and family as well?
It's always great to have, like, friends and family at the game. I think it's always nice to feel that type of support when you're looking up into the crowd. Obviously, the teammates are always there for us as well, but for the most part, I feel like there's sort of something about the West Coast for me.
The road trips, as you guys get a chance to experience that again coming up this weekend when you go to New York, what's it been like kind of seeing the team bond on a year-by-year basis here, both of you guys going through your second year now?
It's great. That's like the best part is, you know, going on the road with your teammates, staying in the hotel, like doing whatever. We're always eating together on the road and all that stuff. So, I mean, that's awesome. So I can't wait for that.
How about you, second time around in the Ivy League? Back-to-backs once again. Anything that surprised you your first year around going through this?
There's a lot of things that kind of surprised me. You don't really know a lot coming into the Ivy League, especially when it comes to games and things like that. Every game is very close, as you can kind of see from previous games. It's hard to kind of expect things, but as time goes on, you kind of gain a better understanding for, you know, the game, and also like traveling is also becomes more fun over time, just because you kind of get a little more accustomed to like what you guys are going to be doing and things like that.
When you guys first came in, it's always interesting to see the specific groups of guys as they come in together. What are some of your first memories about meeting each other?
The first time, well. So Jerome, Elijah, and I were on our officials together, so we kind of knew each other ahead of time. But the first time I saw Sebastian was on, like, a Princeton basketball video, like, on YouTube. And he had, like, the weirdest beard I've ever seen. He was, like, messing around with the kids at the camp. And I was like, this dude. But then when I met him, he was, like, totally different.
Yeah, so, I was shaving.
Any memories about this guy when you first met him?
The first time I met Ryan, he actually came to my room with Coach Etten. And
We took a nice little photo together, actually, on sitting on my bed. But it was a little awkward at first, just because of how we kind of met each other. But obviously, we're very good friends now, and we look forward to the years together.
Ryan, you have gained some acclaim because of your social media Hoodie Mellow.
Yeah.
Anything else you have under your sleeve there? I mean, that's kind of hard to top.
Yeah, we had like last summer. I guess that was two summers ago now. So like right after it happened, we wanted to, because I was getting a lot of Instagram followers, and that's obviously very important. So we wanted to keep that going. So we had some ideas bouncing around, but we never did any of them.
You got to keep those followers up for sure, right?
Yeah. Well, at first, so many people followed me because like they thought I was going to keep it going, and then once I post like a real picture, I got like thousands of unfollowers. So heartbreaker, man. You hate to see it.
Well, Carmelo, is that who you try to pattern your game after a little bit?
No, not at all. Actually, the only reason was to get more Instagram followers.
Oh, you just wanted this. Yeah, you wanted the social media.
100%. Yeah.
If there is an NBA player that you guys would or do pattern your game after, who would that be?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my favorite player is James Harden.
Okay. But,
I don't think I pattern my game after. I don't think anyone really can the way he plays, so I'm not too sure.
How about you, Sebastian?
I don't really have a specific player, but I like watching Gordon Hayward a lot and Chandler Parsons.
Now, speaking of the NBA, one thing I've heard on some of these road trips you guys talk about is LeBron versus MJ. And who is better?
Uh-huh.
Thoughts? Who are you on? What side are you taking?
I'm on a strong Michael Jordan stance. I'm on the MJ
side. You have to be from North Carolina, right?
Yeah, that's we could talk about this for a while, but I'm going to say MJ, big MJ guy.
I don't really take a side, I feel like, because I feel like it's so hard to argue that, because obviously it's such a different time. Mm-hmm. The whole game is almost completely different.
That's
so
fair.
I'm not really sure, but if I had to go with someone, I'd go with MJ because he's the original GOAT.
Well, it's always interesting seeing you guys kind of have a good time on the road, and it seems like that has translated onto the floor this year in particular. What have you guys seen from some of your other teammates and your play in particular as far as going on the road? Because you've played in some pretty tough environments this season.
I mean, yeah. We Duke and at Madison Square Garden. So, I mean, yeah, we played in some pretty big places. But, I mean, I think that's really the key. Like, when we get along off the court, we're friends off the court, we can support each other better on the court. I think we're always going to, like, have adversity. Or we're always going to make mistakes. But, I mean, it's, like, how you pick the guys up and how you respond to that like, really makes a good team. So,
as you go into your second run here in the Ivy League, what is something that you learned? Is there anything that you learned the first time around that you're a little bit more prepared for or aware of the second time around?
I don't know. Yeah.
Personally, like I was kind of talking about before, is expect the unexpected. You never know which way a game can turn and things like that. Like every game is close, just like, you know, our recent wins over Penn, those were close games, like Columbia games, things like that. So,
and in particular, the game, you take a look at the games last year, the triple overtime game at Cornell, and then you have the quick turnaround to go to Columbia. Things like that have to be pretty challenging for the team to endure.
Yeah, that's definitely the Friday night, Saturday night thing is pretty tough. Especially like that triple overtime game, we got in so late in the Columbia, and then that game we didn't play very well. So, I mean, you got to really take care of your body and like really be ready for that back-to-back.
What was the biggest adjustment you guys had to make from high school to becoming a member of the Princeton Tigers?
I
think it's just like an overall knowledge of the game. I feel like when you're in high school, not everyone around you is kind of at the same level. So you're a different player than when you're in college because you're not capable of doing the same things against these competitors. So
that's true. I mean, you just don't know what it takes to be like a good college basketball player when you're in high school. You really have no idea like what it's like at the next level. So you think you're so great, and then you come in and it's like not the same at all.
Yeah, it's all the little things that you don't really notice in the game, and then when you come to college and they all get pointed out to you because they need to be done in order to, you know, succeed. That's what you don't really expect in high school.
Absolutely. And on top of that, I mean, you look at a lot of the numbers in high school and players succeed so much, and then a lot of guys that you play with are doing the same thing, and that has to be a little bit of a tough adjustment too as well.
No, for sure. Like, yeah, if you look at even the two of us, like our high school stats were like the most similar thing. Like we both averaged like 25 and whatever. Jerome was a little different because he went to a prep school. They were really good, so he was more of a role player. Well, no, I'm not even trying to. I'm just comparing our experiences here. So yeah, Jerome was a little more accustomed to like his, you know, playing a role on a good team. Whereas like I know the two of us, like there's no role. It was just like you just go out and like do whatever you want to do.
You just do your thing.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about Cornell and Columbia a little bit as well. And we'll have more with Ryan Schwieger and Sebastian Much right here as a part of the Mitch Henderson Show from The Alchemist and Barrister. This is Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. Stay tuned. We'll have more headed your way in just a moment.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to The Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. It is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on 920 Fox Sports Radio, The Jersey. We'll be here with you each and every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Join us each week for the latest on Princeton Tigers basketball. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. As we are rejoined by Ryan Schwieger and Sebastian Much. Gentlemen, as we get set for action here this weekend between the Tigers and Columbia and Cornell, it has to feel great to come into this four straight run on the road with two wins against Penn.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Penn is our biggest rival. I mean, it has been historically, so it's good to get those guys twice and then kind of get the ball rolling for the rest of the conference.
When you take a look at Columbia, what are some of the things that stand out when you see the Lions?
We've actually watched those games against Cornell, so I mean, they've been playing really well. They got some guys who are pretty good. Like, we've been doing a lot of like scouting for like Quinn Adlish, Gabe Stefanini. These guys, like Adlish, killed us last year, so I mean, it's good. We need to get on that this year.
That particular gym, it's a weird gym to be in, at least from the broadcasting perspective. There's not a deep backdrop that you're accustomed to seeing. How hard is it to shoot in there?
Personally, like, I feel like every rim's the same.
Yep. Yep.
Except for maybe like when you're in like NBA arenas and things like that. But I didn't really feel any different about Columbia's gym. Mm-hmm.
The environment now on the road, four straight games in particular on the road. What kind of challenges do you see having to play that long on the road? Obviously, you get a chance to come back home at various points, but four straight on the road can be difficult. How do you guys stay mentally locked in for that?
I mean, you could even say that there's really not as many distractions when you're out there. Just like you're with the team the whole time, with the coaches, like always at a restaurant or at the hotel or anything like that. So I mean, you really all you have is basketball to focus on. So, and those road games are fun. Like that's, you know, what comes with like conference play and like, you know, at Yale, at Harvard, at Brown, these games are like, you know, big games. So it's fun to go in there and like try to beat them.
A night later after the Columbia game, you guys see Matt Morgan and the Cornell Big Red. As you take a look at his particular game, what stands out about him when you take a look at what he's been able to do?
He's just been so diverse, I feel like. And that's something that we need to kind of, focus on a little bit more throughout our scout and things like that, because he definitely is someone that is hard to handle in general, because he can shoot, but at the same time he's very fast and can handle the ball, so we have to kind of create a plan for him.
And now more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back at the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey for the final segment of the Mitch Henderson Show. We will be here with you each and every Tuesday night at 6. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. As we head down the home stretch here of the Mitch Henderson Show, while we have a moment, let's take a look here at the Ivy League standings. Before we close things out, after last weekend's play, remember now, everybody's two games in to league play, including Cornell and Columbia, who the Tigers will see this weekend. Cornell and Columbia split a pair of games in their home-and-home series, as we talked about in the opening segment with Coach Henderson. Those two games decided by a grand total of 4 points. So that shows you kind of how close the spread is between those two teams in particular. So Columbia and Cornell in a four-way tie at 1-1, with Harvard and Dartmouth also in the mix. Yale and Princeton at the top of the Ivy League with a 2-0 mark, and Yale will be a team that Princeton will see next weekend when the Tigers continue their four-game road swing, first with the Yale Bulldogs on Friday, February the 8th, and then a night later at Brown on February 9th. And Brown, speaking of the Bears, they have, in terms of their record in the Ivy League, struggled a little bit, but you have to remember they had two games against Yale, which obviously not very easy dealing with one of the best teams in the Ivy League. Before those two losses, Brown had actually started the year at 12-4, so winning 12 of their first 16 games this season, but dropping the first two games in Ivy League play to the Yale Bulldogs. So we'll see what is in store for Brown by the time the Tigers get to them next Saturday night. As we take a look at the upcoming schedule, very intriguing game this Friday night as Yale makes the trip to Harvard at 7 p.m. Columbia and Princeton obviously facing off, and then, of course, Dartmouth and Brown, and Penn and Cornell rounding out the Ivy League slate this coming weekend. And, you know, one of the things we saw last season, obviously, was the struggles at times of teams on the road. The home teams, especially early on in league play, were very dominant, and we'll see if that holds this season throughout. It has not, at least in the early stages, because we've seen a couple of situations where the road team was able to get the leg up on the home squad, Yale winning at Brown, and, of course, Princeton winning at Penn. And that's really the difference right now in league play when you take a look at how things have kind of started out. Yale and Princeton have been able to win on the road, whereas Harvard and Dartmouth splitting their home-and-home series, Dartmouth winning at home but losing at Harvard, Columbia and Cornell splitting their two games as well. And this is a little bit of a redemption situation for the Tigers, because when you look at this four-game stretch last season for Princeton, they were swept by the New York schools, and then they lost to Yale while defeating Brown. So three of the four on the road last season against these next four opposition or next four opponents for the Tigers, they did not grab the win. So they will look to turn that around. And if they can, that could bode very well for their chances in the Ivy League, because with a 2-0 start, if you can take care of business on the road, that could very well give the Tigers quite the lift, potentially to one of those top four spots in the Ivy League tournament come mid-March. So we shall see what Princeton has in store for the New York schools first. Of course, Princeton and Columbia head up on Friday night. That game with a 7 p.m. start time in New York City. And then one night later, the Tigers continue their road swing against Cornell when they take on the Big Red. That game with a special start time on Saturday night of 7:30 from Neumann Arena. And, of course, that is a rematch of that crazy triple overtime game from a season ago where the Tigers fell by the score of 107 to 101 and then had to make that trip overnight to Columbia back into the New York area to take on the Lions. So obviously the Tigers, with the trip flipped, won't quite experience the same thing this time around, as they will try to continue their role and their start in Ivy League play. Again, 2-0 record. That could very well be a great sign of things to come for the Princeton Tigers. A reminder, we will be here with you each and every Tuesday night from the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton, New Jersey, catching you up on the latest in Tigers basketball. Next week, we will have a look back at Cornell and Columbia, and also a look forward at Yale and Brown right here on the Mitch Henderson Show. Brown Brooks back in the studio. Coach Henderson, also Ryan Schwieger and Sebastian Much. I'm Derek Jones saying so long, and we will talk to you next Tuesday night at 6 p.m. from the Alchemist and Barrister right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. Have a good night, everybody.